Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life, and this is a message from one of our services. We wanted to thank you for joining us today. We hope this inspires you. We hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message. Psalms 23. We'll go look at Psalms 23. We've been in a series talking about hearing from God, and in Psalms 23, we see that God wants to lead his sheep. And when we accept Christ, we become his child. And one of the things the Bible talks about is we become, the Bible calls us sheep, and it calls the Lord the shepherd. And so in Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Everybody say, "My shepherd." It says, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me." Everybody say, "He leads me." It's important for us to understand that God wants to lead us individually. He wants to guide and lead each and every one of us. And this phrase is repeated, which means that God really wants us to get it. He leads me beside the still waters, right? Notice he didn't say the turbulent storms. He said the still waters. And then it says, he restores my soul. He leads me. Everybody say, he leads me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so we see that God wants to lead us and God wants to guide us. And so he does that, of course, primarily through his word, but he also will speak into our heart about things. And so we have to understand that God will guide us and he will lead us. The Bible also talks about the fact that he will teach us the way that we should go and lead us in the way that we should go as well. So we have to basically get in position to hear God's voice. And the number one way that God's going to lead us is through the word of God. So for us to follow God, we have to know his word, right? For us to know God, we have to know his word. For us to follow God, we have to know his word. So that's why it's vital for us to spend time in the word. And really, we should be spending time in the word every single day. And, you know, sometimes people will put heavy burdens on people and say, well, you need to read, you know, this amount of time or that amount of time. And it's amazing how sometimes people that are, you know, in a certain position in life where they may have discretionary time, say that everybody should do this, but they're not working full-time job. They're not having a family to raise. They're not having other responsibilities. But the point is that I'm investing time into the Word of God every day. Okay, so that can be in the morning. That can be in the evening. That can be in the noontime. That can be at my lunch break. That could be on my break. That could be whenever, right? But I'm spending some time in the Word of God because as I know his Word, I'm going to come to know him better. I'm going to come to know his will better. And so if I want to be in the will of God, then I got to be in the word of God because the word of God is the will of God. And so to the degree that I know the word of God, I'm going to be able to walk in the will of God. So I have to know that. But in addition to the word of God, there's also the voice of God. There's also the voice of God. So as I learn to discern God's voice, God will lead me through his word. And then God will lead me through discerning the voice of God in my heart. And God leads us many times through the inward witness. In other words, he can lead us. You need to go here. You need to do that. And it's not a vocal voice that we hear sometimes, but it's just an inward urge, an inward push, something directing us to go this direction, right? Sometimes the Bible says it even kind of lightly to where it's easy to miss. See, following the voice of God is not spectacular. We want it to be spectacular, and occasionally it can be spectacular. But honestly, when it's spectacular, that usually means that there's problems coming. Because God wants you to be stable during the difficulty, so he sends a spectacular word to you so you know unequivocally, I'm in the will of God, right? But many times his leading is just leading us through the still small voice. There was a time when the apostles were gathered together and ministers were in a certain church, and so Paul was going to go back and minister. And so he needed a companion. And then there was a guy named Silas, and he came to the church where Paul was at. And he was on a mission from the church at Jerusalem to go to Antioch where Paul was. And Paul was getting ready to go on another missionary journey. So when Silas did his mission, the Bible makes this little phrase. It said, it seemed good to Silas to remain there for a few days. That's all it says. It doesn't say a prophet spoke. It doesn't say he heard from heaven. It doesn't say a bright light shined and hit him in the forehead. But it just said it seemed good for him to stay there. That's the leading of the inward witness. And then what happened is God moved on Paul to have another missionary journey. And Paul said, God led Paul, pick Silas, take him with you. See, Silas finished his responsibility and he could have easily went back. But he was led by the Spirit of God. And it said it seemed good to Silas to stay there. So here's my point to you this morning. When it seems good, make sure you do it. Right? And understand that the leading of God is supernatural, but it's always not spectacular. Okay? Now, there's other times where people might get spectacular leadings. Remember I said to you, when it's a spectacular leading, it might be something that indicates that there's hard times ahead, or it might be a big change in the way you think. So God has to do something more spectacular. So, for instance, Peter did not preach to the Gentiles. In the beginning of the gospel, they thought the gospel was for the Jews. But then all of a sudden, Peter's being sent to Cornelius' household. He's got a problem with that. And so he has a vision from the Lord where he sees all these unclean things from the Jewish law they're not supposed to eat, right? And he has this vision and sees these things. And then the voice spoke to him and says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "No, I can't eat what's unclean." And then the voice says, "Don't call unclean what I've called clean." And then all of a sudden, next, he's directed to go to a Gentile's house that he would never have done. But because he had this supernatural vision, he knew it was the will of God for him to go. Okay? So sometimes God has to, he shouldn't have to smack us around. But if it's a big change in our thinking, sometimes there's more spectacular things. Another time with the Apostle Paul, he was going to go, he was feeling in his heart to go to Rome. And the Holy Ghost was witnessing to him personally that there was going to be persecutions coming. But then there was a prophet that came named Agabus. And so the prophet grabbed some clothes of his and prophesied and says, "This man that owns this, he's going to go to Rome and he's going to be persecuted." Okay. Well, that was more supernatural level. Okay. But it was also confirmation to the Apostle Paul that he's going to Rome. The persecution he knew was coming was coming. So that could keep him steady, because part of God's call on Paul was to witness the kings. And so in the process of being brought there, he was able to witness to high-level leaders that he probably would never have been able to witness to on a personal level or communicate to on a personal level, right? So what I'm saying to you is, don't minimize the gentle leading of the Spirit of God, because things are usually better when you have that, right? If God does something spectacular. But a lot of times when we're younger, we say, "Lord, let me have a vision. Let me see something. Let me speak to let me hear somebody. Let somebody prophesy to me." And God is saying, "I love you and I want to lead you. I live inside of you and I want to guide you personally. And I'm going to do that through the inward witness. I'm going to do that through the word of God." Amen. Now, it's amazing. I read something. Y'all remember the older actress named Lily Tomlinson? Yes. She was kind of a comedian, yes. But one of the things she says, "Isn't it amazing when we talk to God, it's called prayer. But when God talks to us, it's schizophrenic." Okay. But so that's the worldly mentality, right? Yes. We talk to God, it's prayer. It's okay. But if God talks back, schizophrenic, right? Yes. Well, throughout the word of God, we see that God speaks to his people. He speaks to his people. And so we can expect God to speak to us. And, when I was kind of studying along this line, I saw that God pretty much spoke to all of his people, and it directly said he spoke to all his people. I mean, the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said. Several times it says that. It says David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said. The Lord spoke to Paul. The Lord spoke to Peter. The Lord spoke to Philip, right? The Lord spoke to different other people throughout the Word of God, not just people that we would call ministers or fivefold ministry, but he spoke to other people as well, right? And it says the Lord directly, personally, and specifically spoke to them. So let me say that again: directly, specifically, and personally. See, the awesome thing about God is God knows you. So he can speak to you personally about something that's going on in your personal life that nobody else knows. Okay? So he can direct you personally. He can be specific when he deals with you and talks to you about things. And so we want to see that God speaks to us, because as we know that God speaks to us, then I recognize I can take comfort in the fact that God will speak to me, right? This should be a common thing that I look for. God leading me, God guiding me. That should be my confession. And sometimes we make a mistake because what we do is whenever we say something that disagrees with the word, we're taking sides against God. Okay? Whenever we agree with what the word says, then we're in agreement. We're exercising faith in what God says. So we get in position for it to work in our lives. But when I contradict what the word says, then I hinder the word from being able to work in my life. Now, that makes sense, but when we apply it, it becomes more challenging. So, for instance, when we say God is leading me and God is guiding me, even when I don't know what to do, then I'm agreeing with the word because that's what the word says. God is leading me. God's guiding me. God's showing me the way. God's directing my steps. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. I hear the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So I hear the voice of God. Okay, so that's me agreeing with the word. But sometimes people can say things like, I never hear from God. I don't know what to do. I don't know which decision to make. Okay, and that can be all natural thinking. That can be how we're feeling in the moment. But when we agree against God's word, see, God's word says he's going to lead us and guide us. Natural thinking says, I don't know what to do. I can't hear from God. Okay. So then when I agree with that, then it's going to be hard for me to hear from God. Because what God wants to do in my beliefs and confession are different. But when I get my faith and belief in alignment with what God says, that's when I can experience the power of the word of God working in my life. Okay. So we want to agree with God's word. Everybody say, agree with God's word. Amen. And so we see in Psalms 23, he wants to lead us. We see throughout the word of God that he speaks to his people. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And I want us to see just in two quick illustrations, but you could go through the whole Bible. And actually, what would make a good series and what would make a good book is hearing from God and just talking about all the incidents in the Bible where God spoke to his people and then analyzing what was the reason that God spoke to his people. Because number one, we see that God speaks to his people. Number two, we see that there's specific reasons that God did it, and we can expect for God to do it today for us. So I just want to take two examples this morning, but number one is Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. And now, as we look at Genesis chapter 12, and verse 1, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said to Abraham. Now, how do you mess that up? Did God speak to Abraham?
Yes.
The only way you can say anything different than that is if you just disagree with the word, right? But anybody that honestly looks at the word, the Bible just said it, right? Now the Lord had said to Abraham. He wasn't talking to anybody else. He was talking personally. And specifically, Abraham. And he says, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Whatever God asks you to do, he always requires faith. He's not going to give you the whole end and the answer of everything because he wants you to walk it out. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not the leaps and jumps and bounds. He wants you to walk with him, right? And so he says, to a land that I will show you. So many times we have to take a step before more revelation is given. And then it says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. What does God want to do? Bless us. And I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I want you to see, first of all, that God says, or the Bible says that the Lord said to Abraham. Now, was it personal to Abraham? Yeah, he called him by name, right? Abraham, he said, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. Was it specific? Yes. Now, notice what he said to him. He says, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your father, from your family, and from your father's house. So one of the first things we learn is this. Following God will sometimes require relocation or repositioning. But it will always require obedience and faith. Let me say that again. Sometimes following God will require relocation or repositioning. Okay? But it will always require obedience and faith. Okay? See, sometimes God needs you to be in a new environment. You know, a good example of that is when my wife pretty much grew up serving the Lord. I didn't, but I rededicated my life right before I went to college, and then we met shortly after that. But we really didn't have ministry in our background. We didn't have people in our family that were ministers per se, and we didn't have examples of people. She didn't have examples of people reading the Bible. I didn't have examples of people reading the Bible, praying, witnessing to others, doing anything like that, basically. So God knew that we needed relocation. He knew that we needed reposition, okay? Because of what he wanted to do in our life later, it required that. And that's the same thing that happened to Abraham. Now, behind the scenes, as you look back, you know, when you're going through it, you're just kind of like, dude, let's just follow God, you know? And you're kind of going through, but you don't see why he's doing that. So because when you're in something, you think it's normal. That's how everybody lives, right? Well, God needed us to get repositioned. And so we got into an environment now where everybody's seeking the will of God. Everybody's in the Word of God. The Word of God is our focus, right? We're pursuing His plan. And then because we relocated to a place where we didn't know anybody, now my wife and I, well, we don't know anybody else, so we grow together as a couple. At a level that we probably wouldn't have grown as a couple had we stayed where we were, okay? But we grew together, okay? So us growing together, depending on each other when we didn't know anybody in a different state and an environment that changed our perception about things, about serving God, about the Word of God, about prayer, about faith, about development, about helping people, all those types of things, your focus becomes different. Okay. So he put us in a different environment so that he could bring us to another place, but it was steps along the journey. And we couldn't have just jumped from there to here, right? We had to get in an environment where he developed us. So that was important for us. And we could both look back and you know what? It seemed good for us to move to Oklahoma. There's nothing in Oklahoma I ever wanted. Right. Nothing against Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma, but it's just not like most of us, you know, unless you got family there. You don't say, let's go to Oklahoma for a vacation. Right. That's not like, you know, Florida or Hawaii or something like that. Right. Right? Not that there's not pretty places there. There are. Right. But, you know, we didn't know anybody, didn't know anything. But the Lord's leading us to go to Oklahoma. But when we talk about it, we're like, it seems good. And the thing is that I remember Pastor Samantha was involved in school and doing different things. And so I said, I feel like we're supposed to go to Oklahoma, you know? And at first she was kind of like, I don't know. But then the thing about Pastor Samantha is that she's sensitive to the Lord. And so she came back. She said, yep, that's right. That's what we're supposed to do. But it seemed good to her. It seemed good to me. And so we didn't have a spectacular vision. We didn't have somebody prophesy to us per se. We didn't have those type of things that said, you know, leave here, go to Oklahoma, go to Bible school. We didn't have any of that, right? But it seemed good. And that's how God leads. But notice the Bible says that God, the Lord said to Abraham, get out from your country. So sometimes God has to relocate us or reposition us. And sometimes a new environment is needed. Now, this is a side note. You want to go a little bit deeper?
Yes.
Okay. This is a side note. But Abraham's father was named Terah, T-E-R-A-H. And so when you look back, if you actually look at Joshua 24 and verse 2, let's look there. Joshua 24 and verse 2, you can keep your finger there, we'll come back. But in Joshua 24 and verse 2, the Bible says, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now, this is a side note, but for Joshua to tell the people what the Lord said, he had to hear what the Lord said. right? So God spoke to Joshua, right? God spoke to Abraham. And then he says, your fathers include, notice this, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Okay? Now, Abraham's dad served other gods. He didn't serve Jehovah God. He served other gods. And when you look at what they call rabbinic literature, which is basically literature that was written by Jewish rabbis, okay, one of the popular ones is called the Talmud. And they kind of tell you ceremonial things, and they give commentary and things like that. It's not Bible, let me say that. But it's interesting to look at sometimes when you look at stuff. But the rabbinic literature says that Abraham's dad not only served other gods, but he was an idolatrous priest. And he actually made for a living idols. Okay. So when you have a little bit of his background, it makes sense why God said, get away from your family and from your father's house. Okay. Not that God can't touch that, but sometimes God has to reposition us for what he wants to do in us. Okay. And so you get a little bit of that backdrop. And so we have to get in position for blessing. And so this is a simple phrase, but it's true, and it'll help us. Blessings follow obedience. Blessings. Blessings are promised through promises, but they follow obedience. Okay? Blessings follow obedience. Now, God intends to bless you and to make you a blessing, but you have to hear and obey. See, God told Abraham, leave fear, go. And we look, and you read the next couple of verses, it says, and Abraham left. Okay? Well, it's easy for us to look at this without being in his situation. But everything he'd known, everything about his family, the ease of transportation is not like it is today, right? For him to relocate to a land that I will show you required faith and obedience. Leave everything that you know. I want to do something in you. And by the way, if you do it, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And you'll be a blessing to others. So God wants to bless us. He wants to promote us. And he wants to bless others. And there's others that are connected to your life that will be recipients of God's blessings upon you if you choose obedience. See what I said?
Yeah.
So in other words, there's people that are connected to me. When I choose what God wants me to do and I follow it, then all of a sudden God's blessings and favor come upon my life. And then people that are connected to me are recipients of that because I chose to follow God. Your family's blessed because you chose to follow God. Your connections, your extended family, your friends are blessed because you chose to serve God. Right? And so there's blessings that are related to all of those. But what I want you to see is that God said to Abraham, it was personal, it was clear, it was direct, it was not ambiguous. Abraham didn't misunderstand what God was saying. It was clear, right? But Abraham had to respond, and as he did, he was blessed. Now, let's look at one other. In Genesis chapter 26, Genesis, are you learning this morning?
Yeah.
All right, Genesis chapter 26, we're going to look at Abraham's son Isaac. And I did this intentionally because you can just go from Genesis to Revelation and see God say it, God say it, God say it, God say it, God say it. God speaks. We just got to be in position to hear and do. Amen? Genesis 26 and verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord what? The Lord said. Was it specific? Was it clear? Right? Do not go down to Egypt. Okay? Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. OK, Okay. Similar to what he said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, make you a blessing, right? Notice this, because Abraham obeyed. See, there's generational blessings because of your obedience. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now we read right over that, but what that means is Isaac did what God said. He didn't go down to Egypt. He stayed right where he was at. Okay. Now, read verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. What was that land? The land where God positioned him, told him to stay, the place where he put him. See, God can bless you when you're in the right place. And then it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Everybody say, very prosperous.
Yeah.
Everybody tell your neighbor, neighbor,
God
wants you to prosper, to continue to prosper, and to become very prosperous. Y'all are preaching good. For he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of the servants, great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now, a couple of things I want us to see on this is, first of all, economic conditions don't determine God's blessings on you and your family. We read in verse 1, there was a famine in the land, but the famine didn't stop Isaac as a child of God to receive 100-fold in tough economic conditions, right? So economic conditions don't determine God's blessings for you or your family. God blessed Isaac during a famine. Now, notice it says, and the Lord appeared to him and said, everybody say, God speaks. And he said, do not go down to Egypt. So this also lets me know that positioning is important. There is a place of blessing. And so positioning is important. And he says, don't go down to Egypt. So God knew that there was a temptation to go to Egypt. See, Egypt would have been a place like the bigger city. So there'd been more opportunities. There'd been more supply. There's been more. So the natural tendency or the thought process is go there because it might be more opportunities. And God told him, don't go down to Egypt. Now, I don't know, but this is what I speculate, is that God is saying, you know what? You think you got to go there, but I'm going to show you I can bless you anywhere. Right? And so he says, don't go down to Egypt. So positioning is important. Now, it's also important because when you study, particularly throughout the Bible, one of the things we know that the children of Israel became slaves in Egypt, and then God delivered them from Egyptian slavery. And then you come over into the New Testament, and then God uses that as a picture of our deliverance in Christ. We've been delivered from Egypt, which was a type of sin and Satan and bondage, into the kingdom of God. So we've been delivered. So there's imagery there. So Egypt in the Bible is an example of the world and the world system. So he says, don't follow the world system when he says, don't go down to Egypt. Okay. So he says, you don't have to depend on the world system, but depend on God's system. Okay. So don't go down into world. Don't depend on the world or the world's ways. You know, sometimes people want the blessings of God, but they got too much involvement in the world. Hello. Sometimes we want, let me say it like this. You can't get the blessings of heaven when you got your foot in the world. In the wrong way. We all have our foot in the world. That's because right. We live in this world.
That's right.
But there's a difference between impacting this world and the world impacting us. Right. I don't let the world dictate what I believe and what I do. I let God dictate what I do and what I believe, and it impacts this world. There's a difference. I don't go down to Egypt. I'm not a resident of Egypt. I'm a resident of the kingdom of God. I have a different king. I have a different kingdom. Right. And then notice we can't expect the blessings of heaven when you follow the ways of the world. Right. But notice in verse 5, it says, because Abraham obeyed the voice and kept the charge. So in other words, there was blessings that followed and were promised because of obedience. So we have to obey, right? And that should be very simple to us. You know, it's simple to understand, harder to execute. The Bible says in James, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers. And it goes further and says the doers of the word will be blessed, right? So we have to do what God says. And then God intends to bless you and make you a blessing, but he had to hear and obey. So in other words, Isaac is seeing a famine. God in heaven isn't saying, oh my gosh, there's a famine. What am I going to do? God knew the famine was coming. God knew that Isaac's his servant. God had a plan to bless him in the midst of bad economic conditions. So he says, hey, you stay here. You serve me here, and I'm going to bless you. Okay. So as he did that, that required faith, right? Because everybody else was moving to Egypt. But he said, I'm going to stay here because he had a word from God. You can depend on the word from God. Amen. But then the power of this verse is in verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He did what God said. And if we want the blessings of heaven, we have to be obedient to what God says. Now, just like with Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you, make you a blessing. I'm going to bless your descendants. It's interesting that he repeats the same thing to Isaac. Matter of fact, look at verse 4, verse 3. It says, dwell in this land, I'll be with you and bless you. To you and your descendants, I will give all these lands. So I'm going to bless you and people connected to you. And I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham, your father. Notice this. This is something God wanted them to get. This doesn't just impact you. He said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, all these nations of the earth shall be blessed. So when I choose to serve God, so let me say it like this. So you come from someone and you're following a certain direction, and that direction of how you were born and the people that raised you and the people that impacted your life, you're heading down a path. But all of a sudden, God intervenes and your life gets saved. And now he's saying, I want you to take another direction. And so every day we have that choice. Am I going to follow what I know? Or am I going to follow what God says? Am I going to follow what I'm used to? Or am I going to follow what his word says? Am I going to follow what people say or the world's doing? Am I going to follow his ways? But if I choose to follow his ways, God said, I'm not going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your descendants. And because now you're heading in this direction, I'm going to take you to a direction of purpose, fulfillment, blessing, favor, usefulness in the kingdom of God that's not just going to impact you, but now the people that are following you, just like you were following somebody else and heading in the wrong direction, now the people that are following you are going to be able to go further than you did because you made a decision to follow me. That's what God intends. I want my kids to go further than we ever did. I want them to have a deeper relationship with God than we ever have, right? But it's dependent to some degree on us and what we're pursuing. Now, let me wrap this up. Notice he dwelt in Gerar. When it says he dwelt in Gerar, that means he didn't follow the opinions of others. Everybody else going to Egypt. Man, what's wrong with you? You better go to Egypt. There ain't nothing here. He didn't follow what other people did. He didn't follow logic. He followed God's voice. Amen? Now, notice verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, the Bible didn't say this, but how many of you know they had to have some faith right there, because most people are not planting when there's a famine. Right? The seed is very precious at those times. But the Bible says he sowed in that land and he reaped. Isaac sowed that land and he reaped in the same year a hundredfold. When it says he reaped in the same year, you know, God wants us to know it doesn't take him long to turn situations around. I mean, there can be patience, and yes, we reap the promises of God by faith and patience, but God can change things in a moment, in an instant. He can change your condition. He can change your situation. He can change your circumstances. And then it says, he sowed in that year, he reaped a hundredfold. He began to prosper until he became very prosperous. And the thing is that God wants supernatural provision for us. We talked about the fact that he prospered. He continued prospering until he becomes very prosperous. See, God wants to bless us. See, we have to shift internally to say, God wants me to prosper because he can use me at a higher level. Okay? Pastor Samantha referenced earlier, she talked about, hey, our vision, we want to know him and make him known. We want people to live out the word of God and to know what the word of God says and live it out and let that light shine so others are impacted and others are drawn into the kingdom of God so their lives are changed, their marriages are changed, their destinies are changed. Instead of heading this way, they're going that way now. Right? And then as you prosper, we pray every day for your prosperity. We want God to bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Thank you for joining us. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. If you enjoyed the message, we encourage you to share it with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.